Okay, welcome everybody. Today is Wednesday, June 3rd, and we are, I think all of us on this screen right now in Houston, Texas, or in its environs. Are the Cantors technically in Houston? Thumbs up? Yes? Okay. Despite the taxidermy behind Colin, they are technically in Houston. They are not on a safari. And we are here for our weekly Lunch and Learn, Parshat Naso. And our Lunch and Learn this week is sponsored by Daisy and Max Blankfeld in memory of Daisy's mother, Tzipora Burstyn Orny, Tzipora Bat Pinchas, a blessed memory. Very grateful for their sponsoring this class. And if anyone would like to sponsor a class, please let me know. Or if anyone would like to sponsor a trip that I can take somewhere also, please let me know. That was a little joke. I don't see anybody laughing. I see Doreen smirking, but just to make me feel better. Okay, so in this week's Parsha, we have Birkat Kohanim, the blessing that the Kohanim give to Bnei Yisrael, and it raises a really interesting question. And let's look at the Pesukim first. And then we will address the question. Again, if anyone has a question or a comment, please use the raise hand function or wave on the screen. I can see everyone except for Marilyn and Ron. So Marilyn and Ron, if you want to say something, you're going to have to send a carrier pigeon to my house or find some other method to let me know. All right, so this is the commandment, the mitzvah, Vayedaber Hashem. We have source number one here. Hopefully everyone could see it on the screen. My father told me that the other day when we were giving the class on arguing with God that you could not see the Hebrew. Can you see the Hebrew now? Yes? Okay, wonderful. So, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. God said to Moshe, saying, Daber el Aharon ve'el banav lemor, kol tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael. Amor Lahem, speak to Aaron and his sons, thus shall you bless the people of Israel, say to them. So God seems to be telling Aaron and his sons that he is to bless Bnei Israel. And then we have the threefold blessing, Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, the Lord bless you and protect you, Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'yifuneka, the Lord deal kindly and graciously with you, and Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom, the Lord bestow his favor upon you and grant you peace. And then we get to the verse that we're going to mainly focus on today, where the pasuk says, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarachim. Thus they shall link my name with the people of Israel, and I will bless them. Okay? So here's the problem. I'm going to highlight another pasuk here. Here's the problem. One pasuk says, at one time we have the Torah telling us that the Kohanim should bless the Jewish people up here in the purple, Kol Tivarchu. And then at the bottom, at the end of this whole section, in pasuk Chaf Zayin, pasuk 27, it says, Va'ani Avarachim, and I'm going to bless them. So which is it? Who's blessing the Jewish people? That's one question we have. The other question we have is, what does it mean that someone is going to bless, that another human being can bless someone, that one human being can bless someone? Blessings come from God, not from human beings. So what is going on here? So we're going to see that there is a wide range of different opinions on this available to us on this question, and let's look at some of it. Okay. By the way, this question does not start here. This question starts much earlier in Jewish history. Anyone want to take a venture to suggest when this question arises of how human beings can bless the Jewish people? When we would first have to, I guess, contend with that question in the Torah. So it seems to me that we would have to contend with that question all the way back Oh, Zach. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Zach.
I just would like to mention blessing of Yaakov of Bnei Israel.
Ah, okay. I think there's an earlier source. That's true. Yaakov does bless his children, although the question is that a blessing or more like a prophecy of what's to come to them?
Actually, both.
But even so, I think we contend with the question earlier, and that is back in when God tells Abraham that he will be a blessing, which is understood that he's gonna bless people. He's going to offer blessings and bestow blessings on people. So that's where this question really first, in terms of the Torah, is raised. But we're going to focus on what the commentaries say here. It would be also a worthwhile endeavor to go back and look at the comments of our commentaries there. So let's state the question first. And just in terms of getting a sense of who this person is, the Akedat Yitzchak is the name of the commentary that we are going to study now. The Akedat Yitzchak was written by Yitzchak Arama. I'm just looking for his details here. Give me one second. Yitzchak Arama, we see here, was a Spanish rabbi. He lived from 1420 to 1494, and he wrote a book called the Akedat Yitzchak. We know that term. He named it after his name, and it's a commentary on the Torah, like it says here, homiletics. It's not a word for word commentary. It's more like sermonettes or long essays on the Torah. Akedat Yitzchak, Yitzchak ben Moshe Arama. And he raises the question. He says, straight out, the question that we may have been thinking about ourselves, Ki ma to'elet b'mitzvah hazot? What's the point? What's the point of this mitzvah? That's a sort of like a little chutzpah, but what's the point of this mitzvah? Ritzoni b'sheyomru elu habrachot mipi ha-kohen el ha'am, ki hu yitaleh ha-mivarech. Right? What's the point of this mitzvah? The God is the source of brachot, right? Ki hu yitaleh hu ha-mivarech, right? God is the one who gives blessings. Uma yosif, uma yitain, ki yivarchu ha-kohanim. And what can possibly be added, and what? Oh, yechdilu. What could be added, or what could be detracted, if the Kohanim bless or don't bless? Right. If God wants to bless the Jewish people, He could bless the Jewish people. What role could the Kohanim possibly play here? That's the question of the Akedat of the Akedat Yitzchak. Okay. It's an important question because it speaks to how God interacts with us in the world, and it speaks to our ability, if in the end this is the conclusion, our ability to extend God's blessings or to bless people ourselves. So this is an important question. I see Doreen has her hand up. Let me see. Okay, go ahead, Doreen.
Yes, you just said something that echoes what I was thinking. I was reading something this morning in a book written by Rabbi Twersky, one of his books on the weekly Parsha, in which he commented that any of us may bless anyone else, that's something that any of us can do.
Okay, yes. So was it on this section of the Torah reading? I imagine it was.
Yes,
it was on that. Did he explain how that works?
No. He just said that any of us may do that. That's something we can all do for each other.
Great. So let's see. Maybe we could explain mm-hmm. how what's behind Rabbi Twersky's contention that people can bless. The Akedat Yitzchak is not in the final analysis doesn't reject the possibility, but he raises the question because that's the important, I guess, theological or religious question that we have. So first we could look at an early source that deals with this, the Talmud. The Talmud actually records a debate, a machloket, in terms of how this works, how we're supposed to understand this last phrase, va'ani avarechein, and I will bless them. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, as you see, the priest, the Kohanim, bless Israel, and the Holy One, blessed be he, blesses the priests. So what Rabbi Yishmael here is doing is two things. First of all, he's saying, yes, the priests can bless Israel. He doesn't explain how that works, but he says that that's a possibility. But what he also helps is explain the apparent redundancy or superfluous phrase at the end that we were troubled with, because it says, Ko Tavarchu, right, in verse 23, you, the Kohanim, should bless. And then it says at the end of verse 27, I will bless. So what Rabbi Yishmael is saying here is this Va'ani Avarchein does not mean I'm going to bless the Jewish people, because I've already told you, Kohanim, that you're going to bless the Jewish people. Va'ani Avarchein means I'm going to bless the Kohanim. The Kohanim bless the Jewish people, and God blesses the Kohanim. It doesn't answer our question, how is it possible for human beings to bless other human beings, but it does answer the very local pshat question, right? The very local question that we have, where there's an apparent redundancy or something extra in the phrase. That is how Rabbi Yishmael answers it. Then comes along Rabbi Akiva. He has a different opinion. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, explains the phrase at face value as explaining to the Israelites. So it says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. You must say, the priests bless Israel, and the Holy One, blessed be he, affirms their blessing. So he also tries to deal, you see, with this issue here, this additional Vani Avarechein. What is God adding? If he told the Jewish people, if he told the Kohanim to bless, if he told the Kohanim to bless B'nai Yisrael, what does Va'ani Avarechein, I will bless them, add? According to Rabbi Akiva, it means I'm not blessing them per se, but I'm giving my stamp of approval, if you will, on the blessing of the Kohanim to the Jewish people. So you both Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva are trying to deal with this very local question of Va'ani Avarechein. Notice none of them say that it means that God is blessing the Jewish people, because that would be redundant. What's the point of God blessing the Jewish people at the end if he just told the Kohanim to? So really, it's referring to either God blessing the Kohanim or God sort of approving of the blessing that the Kohanim gave to B'nai Israel. With that, it still leaves us with the question, why does God, who was the ultimate source of blessing, need the involvement of the Kohanim, right? We've dealt with one of our questions, which is the Parshanut question, the specific question of the meaning of the verse. But we haven't really understood the theological possibility of the notion of Birkat Kohanim. Birkat Kohanim plays such a central role, right? Every day in Tefillah, we say it more than once. So what is the meaning of this? So now let's look into that a little bit. We could attempt an answer by studying a midrash from Bereshit Rabbah. Remember I said that this whole issue of blessing of a human being blessing another human being actually stems from earlier events in the Torah, notably when God speaks to Abraham. The rabbis in the Midrash interpret the pasuk as follows. Let me show you the pasuk that we're talking about, just so we're all clear. The pasuk that we're talking about is Bereshit, Perek Yud Bet, Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Bet. Here it is. Ve'eescha l'goy gadol v'avarechecha v'agad l'ashemecha. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Ve'ye bracha. And you shall be a blessing. Okay, that's the pasuk that the rabbis in the Midrash that we're going to look at now are contending with. So when they come back to our source here, Amar Rabbi Barachya, let me highlight the source so everyone sees what we're talking about. We're in the source that's in yellow. Okay, Amar Rabbi Barachya, Kevar Katuv Va'avarechecha. It already said in the verse, right here, what the rabbis are contending with, back to our verse here, is, it says here, Va'avarechecha, right, that God is going to bless him. And I'm sorry, it says here, it says in verse 2, Va'avarechecha, and I will bless you. And then it says, Veheye bracha, and you shall be a blessing. So what is, that also is a redundancy. What are the two things, what does that mean? So that's what the Midrash is contending with. Kvar katu va'varechecha, it already says, I will bless you. Ma tamud lomar veye bracha. What is added when the Torah says, you shall be a blessing? Ella amar lo, this is really neat. Rather, it's not a redundancy. What it means is, amar lo, God said to Abraham, ad kan hayiti zakuk levarech et olami. Up till now, I had to bless my world. Mikan va'elach, harei habrachot misurot lach. From now on, the power to, bless is yours. L'man dechaze lecha l'nevarcha barech. Whoever you see fit to bless, you shall bless. So, I think there are, so this is again God talking to Abraham. Okay? So, I think this midrash may be understood. There are two ways to look at this midrash, very locally or more universally. It only helps us if we look at it in a more universal way. Because on the one hand, well, let me ask you the question. Does this help us? Does this midrash help us? Our question, how is it possible that a person can bless another person? God is the source of blessing. Okay, that's true. But we have a midrash here where God says to Abraham, up until now, I had to do it. From now on, you can do it and you can bless whoever you want. Does this answer our question? Let's start with the raise hand function to see if anyone has a view they want to share. Okay, Zach, you raised your hand, yeah?
Yes, and I would like to word differently. What is a blessing? Blessing is actually a personal appeal of positive wishing, and we could see from episode in the Torah when Jewish people were standing on Mount Ebal and Gerizim. Blessing okay. Coming, this is so-called positive expression of wishing or desire on somebody, and negative.
Exactly. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
I think we're going to come to your point in a minute or two.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, to hold off. If it's not it, then you should explain the difference. But I think there's another view that I think is going to be more along your lines.
What I want you to say, if this midrash helps or not, yes, it does help, because it's actually give God's power to person a certain quality. This why actually Kohanim been given such power to bless right. Jewish people, because they were given much more strict obligation to fulfill mitzvot.
Okay, great. So that's okay. We're going to get to that too. But your main point is this is a helpful midrash because it indicates that God can give the power to bless to other people.
Yes, okay. It does help.
Great. Okay, good. Chana. Chana, you have to unmute yourself. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. A word has a lot of power. By the way, I wanted also to say that Yitzchak Avinu also blessed Yaakov and Esav. And there are many situations in the Tanakh that people are blessing others. It gives the people that are blessed a lot of koach, a lot of strength, a lot of hope. And God himself cannot, like in Har Sinai, he gave them the two first dibrot and they also fainted. So God cannot speak directly to Am Israel. So he gives the, he delivers okay. the strength to the Kohanim to deliver it to Am Israel. Like Moshe
gave
Sinai Torah, ve'vira le'Moshe, ve'Moshe le'Yoshua, ve'laskenim, le'Kohanim, and all these. So, it's a power that goes from generation to generation until this very day. And they give us a lot of strength and hope.
Okay, great. That is an excellent point.
There's a lot of koach.
Right. So it doesn't explain so much how it works, but we understand why it works. That sometimes the direct communication with God is just too much to handle. Okay, right. Excellent. And so we need an intermediary. Okay, good. Mom, you have to unmute yourself.
Oh, here I am. Okay. Great. I agree with Hana. She said that there was a lot of people in that blessed. But even now, fathers bless their children before you bench left for Shabbos. I think... What? The Lubavitch Rebbe blessed. I think it's just a way of and making you feel better, making the person that's giving a blessing and the person that's being blessed. I think
So that's very interesting. Because what you're saying is... What you're saying is it doesn't really work. It's not really a blessing. It just makes everyone feel better. That's very important. That's very important. But to say that it just makes people feel better is very different than saying, no, this is actually a blessing that God is going to deliver on. There's two very different things.
I don't think it makes you feel better, but I think it makes the person who's getting the blessing feel better.
Okay, but again, it may not really work. Okay. They may not get the blessing.
Hey, a lot of things in life don't work.
Right. Okay. There's a lot of merit to that. That's very important that we say things, we try to comfort people while we may not really have a way to help them. And that may be very important. And maybe that's what's going on here too. We don't know. Maybe it doesn't work, but it makes the Jewish people feel better that our Kohanim stand up in front of us every morning and give us a blessing. It could be, but that's different than, let's say, maybe that could be what this midrash means. It could be. But I think the question of whether this midrash is helpful or not, to me, hinges on the question of whether or not this power was given to anyone else other than Abraham. Because this is the conversation between God and Abraham. God says, up until now, I had to bless my people. Now you can do it. What does that mean? Does this mean that anyone after Abraham can do it? Or because Abraham was so unique and so special that he gets to do it, but other people can't do it? So whether or not this midrash is actually helpful to answer our question, how is it possible that a human being can bless God? Well, it's easy. God gave us the power, as we see here with Abraham. Well, that's not so clear. Because it could be that God just gave that power to Abraham, and he did not give that power to other people. So maybe it's a helpful midrash for our purposes. Maybe it's not a helpful midrash for our purposes. Okay, so let's move on to another attempt to answer this question. The Rashbam takes a much, Glenn, did you want to say something? No, the Rashbam takes a very different approach. The Rashbam, which you have here, in the sources, source number, well, it's not numbered, I don't know why, but right here under the yellow, I'll put the Rashbam's name. I'll highlight the Rashbam so we know who we're talking with here. The Rashbam in red, okay? He says something very interesting. Kot tevarchu et bnei Yisrael, quotes the pasuk, right? Kelomar, lo tevarchu mibirchat pichem. God is saying, do not bless them using your own words. Ke adam sheomer tivuah l'rosh ploni kach v'kach. As someone might say, may it befall someone so-and-so. Ella, a lie titpalalu she'avarechem ani. Pray to me that I should bless them. So here, the Rashbam takes the wind out of our sails. We, being human beings, cannot bless. What can human beings do? Human beings can pray to God that God should bless. Right? On the bottom, Ella is the key phrase. Ella, a lie titpalalu. She'avarechem ani, rather, pray to me that I should bless them. Now, this helps us in two ways. One, it answers this question that we had on top. What is this va'ani avarechem? If you're blessing them, why do I have to? Why is God blessing them? Very, now we understand. This kot tevarchu on top means pray to me that I should bless them. And this va'ani avarechem at the end means, and then I will. If you pray to me that I should bless them with this threefold blessing, I will. So he answers both questions in this very short comment. And I thought maybe that's what you were getting at, Zach, right? It's not a prayer per se. It's a hope. It's a wish that we have. But when we hope and wish something, we know we only have one address for our hopes and our wishes. The only address for our hopes and our wishes is God. So if I want the Jewish people to be blessed with peace, I have to pray to God, please bless the Jewish people with peace. And then God promises us, okay, I will listen to your prayer. So while the Rashbam is helpful in answering both our local question and our sort of more theological question, it a little takes the wind out of our sails in the sense that the people can't bless people. And despite this midrash above, maybe the Rashbam was suggesting something that I was suggesting, that the midrash above is really only talking about Avraham. Maybe there are special people that from time to time have a special status, and they could bless other people, but not most of us. And maybe not even the Kohanim. Even the Kohanim are really, when they're up there duchening, right? They're up there doing the Birkat Kohanim. What are they doing? They're praying to God about this. Okay, that's the Rashbam. There's a problem with the Rashbam. It's not a philosophical problem. It's a textual problem. Would anyone like to suggest what the textual problem with the Ramban is? With the Rashbam is? His idea is a good one. It saves us from a lot of theological problems. Very rational, as much as prayer is rational. That's even interesting, right? As much as prayer is rational, it saves us from the additional problem of how could a human being bless another human being. But the problem with the Rashbam is, just look at the wording. If this was a prayer, what would it say? The translation, it's hard to do with the English translation, but if this was a prayer, the bracha instead would say, for example, may God bless you, right? May God, not that he will, right? The Lord, these are statements of fact. I mean, this is my blessing. My blessing is that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that the Lord will bestow his favor on you. Those are blessings, not prayers. If it was a prayer, it would be may God bless you. May God keep you. Right? So the Rashbam's answer helps on some level, but doesn't really perfectly fit in to the way that the blessing is composed. And by the way, the Rashbam is not the only commentator along these lines. The Abarbanel, commenting on the same set of psukim, says something very similar. He says that all the interpersonal blessings are actually a form of prayer. And he reminds us, I'll review it outside without going inside. He reminds us that there are three categories of blessing in Jewish thought. One is blessing bestowed by God upon creations, right? That's in the form of actual kindness that God does for them. The second is a blessing bestowed by man upon God. That's when we praise God, express gratitude to God. And the third is a blessing bestowed from one person to another person. That's what we're talking about here. The third category, says the Abarbanel, is different from the other two categories. Because really nothing is bestowed in the third category. Nothing's bestowed by the individual delivering the blessing, right? A person has no power to actually bless another person. The power is reserved for God. And so in an interpersonal blessing is really a prayer to God that he bestow kindness upon the target, if you will, of the blessing. So the Rashbam and the Abarbanel sort of represent a shared school of thought in terms of how they understand this. The Kohen cannot really praise God. I'm sorry, the Kohen cannot really bless the Jewish people. He can praise God. The Kohen cannot bless the Jewish people. The Kohen, and anyone else for that matter, can pray that God bestow blessing on other people. So, you know, that raises the question that you said before. People go to Rebbe's to get blessings and all sorts of things. So you could answer two different ways. You could say it's not really a blessing. It's the rabbi's prayer to God that the person be blessed, sort of like the Rashbam and the Abarbanel. Or you could say, no, maybe they're like an Avraham person. And they are so unique and so special that God also gives them the power to bless. That's a possibility as well, if you want to learn a much broader meaning to the Midrash, that instead of it just referring to Abraham. Okay, good. So we have a couple of approaches now. One is maybe God gives the power to bless to lots of different people. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, but it's a possibility. The other possible answer is from the Rashbam and the Abarbanel that these are not blessings per se, these are prayers. And along the way, we saw also how the textual issue was dealt with. Okay, now let's look at two other commentaries. One from Samson Raphael Hirsch. I have it for you on the screen in Hebrew, but I'm going to read it in English from my handy dandy Hirsch Chumash. Rav Hirsch's approach, I'll just sum it up and then we'll read it. He says that the Kohanim are sort of a passive instrument, right? They are not independent contributors to what's going on here. They are sort of a cog in the wheel of the avodah, of the service that takes place in the Beit HaMikdash. So the blessings of the Kohanim do not flow from their well wishes, from their benevolence. They really flows from Hashem. Let me read you what he says. It is not the authority to bless the children of Israel which is here conferred to the Kohanim, but a duty which is given them to perform. So this is also very interesting, right? Normally, when you think of a blessing, this is the first hint that this is not a real blessing. Because normally, when you think of someone blessing someone else, they're doing it out of kindness, out of a sense of something above and beyond what's necessary. But the Kohanim here are ordered to bless the Jewish people, right? Daber el Aaron v'el banav lemor ko tivarech b'nei Yisrael. God tells Moshe to tell Aaron and his children that this is what he has to do. So what kind of blessing is that? It's like when two kids fight in the sandbox and you bring them together and you say, all right, everyone say you're sorry. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That's not real. Right, there's nothing authentic about that. And so that's the question that Rav Hirsch is raising. What kind of blessing is this if the Kohanim have to do it, right? It doesn't seem to meet that first smell test of authenticity. So it is not the authority to bless the children of Israel, which is here conferred upon the Kohanim, but a duty which is given them to perform. The blessing of the Kohanim does not flow from their well-wishing. Like we said, this is a sandbox situation. This is not their design. I'm not saying the Kohanim aren't wonderful people, but this is not an expression of that. Their benevolence, it does not flow from their well-being, their benevolence, but it is part and parcel of their sanctuary, of their service in the sanctuary. The service is defined, and Rav Hirsch goes on to explain how it's defined in Deuteronomy, in Devarim, La'amod lefanai, lefnei Hashem, l'sharto, l'varech b'shemo, to stand and perform the service and to bless in his name. This is part of the stated requirements of the Kohanim. And he quotes other places in the Torah where it says as well, the Kohen stands in service before God and pronounces the blessing in his name and at his bidding. Hence, only ba'avodah, meaning in the service, at the conclusion of bringing all the offerings, did the priest have to pronounce the blessing. Just as it says of Aaron, Vayisa Aaron et yadav, el ha'am vayivarchem, vayirid me'asod ha'chatat. It's sort of the end result. It's the last part of the avodah that the Jewish people do. And then he goes on to say, even outside the Beit HaMikdash, and even in our day and age, when there is no Beit HaMikdash, right, when the people come together for prayer outside the sanctuary, and still today in our gatherings, Birkat Kohanim, the blessing of the priest, must always be attached to the Avodah. We always attach it to the Ritzei, that blessing in the Amidah that talks about the service in the Beit HaMikdash, to remind us that this is not something that the Kohanim are doing out of their own free will. This is something which is part and parcel of the service, right? And therefore, he says, a Kohen who does not start moving toward the bima when they start saying Ritzei is not allowed to participate in the blessing, because it has to be clear that the Kohen is doing it only because it's part of the Avodah. And similarly, the Birkat Kohanim belongs to Sharet and is a part of the Avodah, part of the service to Hashem. The priestly blessing has entirely the character of all Avodah procedures. Its meaning lies in its objective prescribed contents, and the ministering priest who pronounces it is nothing, here it is, but the appointed instrument through which in the sanctuary the act here, the word, receives its significant expression. The stamp. So it sounds like what Rav is saying is, they're just a sort of a funnel. They're a funnel from God through which the blessing passes, and this is not them on their own. So therefore, we don't even have to ask the question, how could a human being bless another human being? This is not a human being blessing a human being. This is a human being. This is just like bringing a sacrifice or sprinkling the blood doing any of the other, taking out the ashes, doing any of the other parts of the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. It was all done by God, right? Even there were people who were intermediaries, but essentially whatever goodness flows out of bringing a carbon or sprinkling the blood, it all really comes from God. It doesn't come from the person. This is a little harder to understand because the Kohen is actually asked to express something verbally, but it's no different than any other aspect of the Avodah. The details reflect the process by which the congregation blesses itself with the blessing commanded by God through the agency of the Kohanim. They are just, again, the funnel, the tube, if you will, through which the blessing reaches the Jewish people. So this also helps us, because if we go back here, Ko Tevarchu means you should utter these words of the blessing, but who is ultimately the one who blesses the Jewish people? Va'ani avarchem. I am. I do it. God does it. So it's not superfluous in that sense. Ko Tevarchu means utter the words of the blessing, and I will bestow the blessing on the Jewish people. Finally, we come to the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch actually envisions a more central role for the Kohanim. He says as follows, Mishor shei ha-mitzvah shechafetz Hashem b'tuvo ha-gadol levarech amo al yidei ha-mishartim ha-chonim tamid beit Hashem. This goes, I think, a little to what my mother had said or someone else had said about the Kohanim being particularly righteous and holy. God sometimes desires to bless his people via the Kohanim who dwell constantly in the house of the Lord, the kol machshavtam davka ba'avodatam, and whose thoughts are directed entirely toward his service, v'nafsham kishura b'yirato kol hayom, and whose souls are bound continuously to his worship, ubizchutam tachol habracha aleihem, and in their merit of the Kohanim, the blessing will rest upon them, the nation, v'it baruchu kol ma'asehem, and all of their dealings will be blessed. Okay, so God uses these very holy people to do it. And so then he asks a question over here. Ve'al titma le'mor ve'lu chafetz Hashem v'birchatam yitzav itam et habracha ve'ein tzarech birchat kohanim. Okay, if God truly desires to bless the people, let him deliver the blessing directly. Which that's the question we started with. Ki kivar hikdamti lecha panim rabot. He says, I've explained this before. Ki bekoach hechsher ma'asenu tachol habracha aleinu. He says, I've explained that the blessing will rest upon us through the power of the works of our hand. Ki yado baruchu petucha lechol shoel bioto muchshar umuchan mekabalat haTorah. V'alkein ki bachar banu mikol hamim v'ratza sh'nizka b'tuvo hizhiranu v'tzivanu l'hachin ma'asenu l'hachshir gufeinu v'mitzvotav. We have to prepare ourselves through the mitzvot to be a proper and appropriate receptacles of the bracha. Gam tzivanu b'tuvo ha'gadol l'vakesh b'menu ha'bracha v'sh'nish'al oto a'yidei ha'mishartim ha'tehorim. Ki kol zeh yizuchut l'nafshotenu mitol kach nizke b'tuvo. This is almost mystical. There are two. The Sefer HaChinuch is saying there are two important ingredients here. One is the Kohanim who are dedicated to Hashem and spend their time in the Beit Hamikdash, and the V'nafsham Kishura V'Yirato Kol Hayom. Right, their soul is connected to the awe of God all day long, and because of their merit, the bracha will fall on us. That's ingredient one. But ingredient two is us. We have to be worthy recipients. And the way we become worthy recipients is to do the mitzvot, right? That's why he says, "V'tzivanu lahachin ma'asenu lahachshir gufeinu mitzvotav liotenu ruuyim al hatov." And God has commanded us to do. Sorry about that. That's too dark. God has commanded us to do the mitzvot. Sorry, being a little too fancy here. God has commanded us to do the mitzvot, to prepare our bodies to be worthy of the good. So this is like a mystical thing. You have the exalted person who is worthy, and maybe this goes back to the Midrash. Maybe the Sefer HaChinuch is understanding this Midrash more universally. There can be a person, not just Avraham, there can be a person who more broadly, because of their holiness, can be a conduit, can be someone who calls upon God's blessing. It's more than a conduit. Can call up the Hirsch was saying it's a conduit. The Kohen is like artificial intelligence, completely passive. Here the Sefer HaChinuch is saying something else. The Kohen could call upon God's blessing because of the way they live life, but it only works if we have prepared ourselves through the mitzvot to be the proper recipients, if you will, of God's blessing. So this I saved to the end because it has this, like, I think this almost like a ritual, a mystical approach that the Kohen could actually do it, right? The Kohen could actually call upon God's blessing, provided that the two other ingredients are in place. And I think that stems from this Midrash, although this Midrash only calls on one ingredient, an Avraham-like person. And in fact, the Midrash says, whoever you want to bless, you can bless. as opposed to the Sefer HaChinuch, where it just, it seems to be saying, it's not whoever you want to bless. It has to be a certain type of person who has made themselves a proper receptacle for the blessing. So going again, just to recap, we started out with two questions. One is, how is it possible for a human being to bless other human beings? We saw a couple of approaches. One is, you could be a special type of person who could give that type of blessing, like an Abraham. The second approach was, you can't, but you can pray that God bless other people. Third was, you could be a conduit for God's blessing if you're a Kohen. And the final one was, if you are worthy, you could actually call on God's blessing. And then we tried to answer the textual issue. What's going on here? Vani Avarachim. So we suggested that it could either mean that God's blessing the priests, not the Jewish people. It could mean that God just affirms the bracha of the Kohanim. It could mean Vani Avarachim, according to the Rashbam, meaning you ask for the Jews to be blessed, and I will grant that prayer. I will, in fact, bless them. So it's not redundant. According to the Hirsch, it works out fine, right? You say the words, and I will use you as a conduit, and I will bless you. And finally, when it comes to the Sefer HaChinuch, Va'ani Avarachim, ultimately, the Abarbanel could go back to one of the the Hirsch could go back to one of the understandings of the Gemara to explain that Va'ani Avarachim. I want to see if Hirsch just addresses that directly, and if not, we will call it a day. I do not see it where he says it expressly, but he can go back and rely on the two interpretations of the Gemara. Okay, any last comments or questions? Anyone? Final thoughts? Last words? Okay, Chana, you have to unmute yourself, please. One more time. I'll get you in a second, Zach. Chana, could you unmute yourself?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Chana.
Yes. Okay. It's my thought that rabbi, I don't remember his name now, that says that Kohanim are only a vessel for the word of God. That kind of diminish their role. It kind of put them in a situation that they are only something that doesn't have the spirit, the ruchani, the high level. So they are only a vessel. But I liked what Sefer HaChinuch said, but I just want to say that nowadays, every person has nitzot eloki, isn't that? Like the simple people, we have in us nitzot eloki, right? So in my perspective, in my machshava, in my thought, every person can bless another person because we get this by inheritance from the Kohanim. We have the possibility to bless another person and to deliver and to transfer to him our bracha, our good.
Chana, what you're saying is very beautiful. And I will add that there's a Gemara Masechet Megillah that says as follows: Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Leolam Al Tihi Birkat Hedyot Kala Be'enecha. That the bracha of a Hedyot, a simple average person, should not be diminished in your eyes. Meaning, maybe people do have this possibility, right? And the Gemara says, "Sharei shnei gedolei hador barchum shnei hediotot v'nitkayma bahem." You know what? Let me open the Gemara for you. Let me open the Gemara. It's in Megillah Tet Vav Amud Aleph. If anyone has to go, I understand. But if everyone wants to wait just another minute, you could see that Gemara in Tet Vav Amud Aleph. Let's see. Looking forward, hold on. I wrote here about Esther. Okay, here it is. I'll share the page with you now. It's a perfect source to end our discussion with. Everyone see the Gemara here? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Everyone see that?
Yes.
Okay. Thumbs up, folks. You can see that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so Rabbi Elazar further said, Rabbi Chanina said, one should never regard the blessing of an ordinary person as light in your eyes. Because two of the great men of their generation received blessings from ordinary people, and those blessings were fulfilled. What are they? David and Daniel. David and Daniel. David, the Birachye Arona. Because Aruna blessed him, right? Vayoma Aruna El Hamelech, etc. May the Lord, your God, accept you, and it was fulfilled. V'Daniel, Daryavish, Elokecha, Dai Ant Plachle B'Ditira Hu Yishizvincha, Yishizvinchach. Your God, whom you serve continually, he will rescue you. And this too was fulfilled when David was saved from the lion's den. So you're right on some level, Chana. I'm not sure exactly how that works. Maybe that's an answer to our question, that we have to explain the Midrash about Abraham as being universal, and it's not just about Abraham. Perhaps I'll go back and look at some of the other explanations of it, but yeah, you make a very good point.
Yeah, and that's why a father and the mother are blessing their children on a Friday night when we do the Kiddush, Adlakat Nerot, and all this, because it has the power that was delivered to us from the Quranim, from God, you name it, but it still has that power, I believe so.
Right, although the question I would ask, well, I guess it depends. If you're the Rashbam, right, if you're the Rashbam, and the question is, what did the Rashbam think he was doing when he was giving his children the blessing on Friday night? It sounds like in his mind, he was praying. Because again, he didn't really believe that...
that he can do it, like only
that one Lord can do it. So yeah, I guess, like we said, it depends on your outlook.
Yeah, yeah. But I disagree with the Rashbam.
And you have the right to. You're in good company, apparently. So did the Midrash and so did the Gemara.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I thought there was one. I think, Zach, did you want to say something? Let me see. Hold on. Go ahead, Zach.
In our discussion of your class, would be wonderful to replay Balak in his way, how it's happened, because it's so beautifully fits in a way. How complex is this energy, so-called exchange, negative versus positive, and what
right,
energy
right.
Come from God?
Yes. Next time we come to this parsha, Zach, we'll have to add that in.
Aloof.
All right. Yasher koach, everybody. Thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day. It's nice to see you all. Thank you for joining again. I hope to see you all soon. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Bye-bye.